You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. Tony stealing my thunder. Before we get to our special guest, man, we've got a big show for you guys tonight. Tony, since you took my thunder, why don't you throw your social media out first?
Yo, I'm Tony Thunder. You can find me on social medias. I'm Tony Thunder.
Devin?
You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStateNoScissor. That's one word.
And last but not least, you can find me at Detroit Knockout, Detroit NOKOUT on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, KO3CPod.com. See all of our back episodes, including ones with Booker T and everybody else. And without any further ado, we've got a very special guest with us tonight. Ahead of his fight, March 14th for Bare Knuckle FC, you've got Josh Burns. How you doing, brother man?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Not too bad. Let everybody know where they can find you on your socials.
Just Josh Burns, man. Josh Burns on Instagram and Facebook.
So I know you've been doing the bare knuckle thing for a while. I know you were doing bare knuckle boxing before you moved over here to Bare Knuckle FC and stuff. So first of all, tell me about what your thoughts are now that you've done a ton of bare knuckle fights at this point. What are your thoughts on that as opposed to your time in MMA? Because I know you had a good run in Bellator and all that as well.
Well, you know, like you said, I mean, I've been running it for the last 4 years doing the bare knuckle fights. It's more suited for me. As you guys know, I mean, you've seen my MMA fights. I'm more of a stand-up guy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've wrestled collegiately and stuff, and I can wrestle, but nobody wants to see that. People want to see big boys bang. So with bare knuckle, you have no choice. You got to stand there and you got to throw. So as far as stylistically speaking, it's something I prefer and I like. When I first started, when I went to Europe, obviously I was one of the first Americans to even go to Europe and do it. And just like anyone else, was nervous about my hands, didn't know what was going to happen. And the funny thing is, I broke my hand, both my hands, in MMA probably six times. And I fought for 4 years bare knuckle, and I've yet to break my hand, knock on wood. But hey, so I just think it's a little more brutal, but it's quick, it's more raw, and it, like I said, it's more suited to my style.
So would you say that the reason why you don't take as much damage to the hands is purely from just that there's not as much action always in bare knuckle as you'd see in MMA with the gloves and stuff? Or what do you think, you know, has kept your hands more protected? Because for me, I mean, that would be the first thing I would think, like, damn, that would be a lot more damage on your hands.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. And I mean, if you've seen any, I mean, you can YouTube me, you know, I have over 10 fights there. You can see my bare knuckle fights. I fight just as fast and just as furious as I did MMA. But I think the fact that having gloves, any type of gloves, from the 4 ounce MMA gloves to boxing gloves, you tend to hurt your hand because you can, technically you have to punch more because it softens the blow for the opponents and you're not as effective. Now, bare knuckle is bone on bone. So just like Muay Thai is really effective because they have elbows, you know, that's bone on bone. You know, you cause more cuts, you know, and to be quite honest with you, it's more of a gut check. I think the one thing that I'm known for, like, especially through Bellator, was it was hard. You know, that's not something you could teach anybody. And I was one of those guys. And with, you know, bare knuckle fighting, it's exactly that. You're going to get a gut check. And because, I mean, any other style of fighting, you get hit, you really don't feel it. You know, you unless you really get cracked a good one. Bare knuckle, you get a jab right off the rip, you feel it. Through the adrenaline, through the endorphin dumps, you still feel it because it's bone on bone. So then at that point, it's a will check, you know, your heart, how much you want it, you know, what do you really want to do? And, you know, it's a very select breed that can do it, that can thrive at it. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I enjoy fighting now. When I fought in Bellator, it was just something to do. It was more of a hobby. With this bare knuckle, it's just something that I enjoy. I look forward to it because, you know, at the end of the day, if you can take me whooping your ass for 5 to 6 minutes with my bare fists, then you deserve to win. And so far, I've yet to find anybody that's crossed my path that can do that. You know, the two losses that I do have is obviously one was my very first fight, and then one for the world title fight. And that was obviously they stopped it because my septum had ripped, which I think was also, in my opinion, was more of a political thing because there's a European guy who was the champion and I was coming on after the third round. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. And then I had two other fights that they stopped due to cuts. And those cuts were obviously within 30 seconds of the first round to, you know, no contest. So, but yeah, I mean, it's what I prefer.
Tony, I know you got something over there. I've been seeing you wearing up.
Well, you know, with the transition of going from MMA to more of a bare knuckle, is there anything that changed as far as your regimen of working out or conditioning or anything like that?
You know, I've always been a stand-up guy. So it's, you know, anybody that's ever trained with me from like Leroy Johnson, all these guys that are MMA guys that have solid names in MMA, like Coleman, Mark Coleman's like a big brother to me, and he says the same thing. For me, it just lets me hone in what I prefer to do. Like when we spar, I prefer to stand and bang. You know, obviously I'm not a big kicker, but to kick me, you got to get close enough and the counter to a kick to punch. So, you know, I'm a pressure fighter. So I move forward. So as far as training, the only thing that I think that picked up is the output of hands. With MMA, you have to be careful because just, you've seen my fights in MMA. Guys don't want to get hit. They're immediately going for legs. They're going for lockups. They're trying to tie you up, do things. So,
panic wrestlers.
With this, I don't have to worry about it. With this, they've got to stand and bang, you know? So as far as training wise, we're just picking up the output. That's all. We're just focusing on the hands and we're having, instead of two or three, you know, bursts in a round, these are shorter rounds, but we're picking up four or five bursts that are, you know, between 6 to 10 punch combinations each round.
So with your move from bare knuckle boxing now to your first fight for Bare Knuckle FC, you know, what are your thoughts going into it? And what are you looking forward to most other than obviously being able to be back stateside? Or did you like fighting overseas more?
No, you know what? I mean, just in any fight game, man, everything's political and everybody gets complacent in the game. I fought for them for BKB in Europe for almost 4 years, 3.5 years. And the first year and a half, 2 years was amazing. They treated me great, you know, and did what a professional promotion would do. But as, you know, time went on, you know, they were giving me 15-hour flights when it's only an 8-hour flight directly there and back. They weren't flying me corners. They would set me out, you know, out in the boonies. And
nope, you there? Uh-oh. Looks like we lost our guest. Hang on. Hold on 1 second. Keep
talking. Okay. Hey, y'all.
Can you hear?
Oh, he's back. Are you there?
Yep.
We're having a technical difficulty.
Josh, you there? Josh, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Devin, are you there?
Yeah, hold on.
Go check and see if he's on there.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello, Devin. You got the podcast can juice? Devin?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Devin. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. The year is 1992. Who will win a fight between Uncle Fester and the Rainbow Care Bear?
Man, you can't fight the fact that someone shoots love out of their chest, man. You got to go with Care Bear, man.
That's true. I agree with that one. Yeah, man, this is hey, we're live. There's the Randy. The Randy has returned. Kyle is a frantic
I'm trying to figure it out.
It's Doritos in my hoodie.
He's trying to call back in now. Yeah. We'll have our guest back on in one second.
He should be back.
Josh, you back in here?
Uh-oh. I saw the call.
The Randy.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, folks.
No, you're not.
I am, but...
is he... Are you there?
Josh, you in here?
It says it missed. What's going on? Devin, I might have to hang up on you and then have you call back, too.
Okay.
He said he's trying back now. Sorry for the technical difficulties, folks. We'll get back to our guest in 1 minute. And yes, for all of you that keep asking, here he comes. Hello?
Derek?
Yep, I got you.
That worked.
All right. Like I was saying, you know, this is your first fight for Bare Knuckle FC. What are your thoughts on your switch over there? Obviously, you said your exit of Bare Knuckle Boxing wasn't that great. What are the biggest things you're looking forward to coming into Bare Knuckle FC as far as other than just being back in the States?
Well, just to be honest, you know, it's going to be nice to be back on the big stage with, you know, companies that are ran professionally in the way of what I'm used to, Bellator style, you know, high level promotions where, you know, you have proper medicals done, you have people picking you up and doing your itineraries and you know, they cater to you. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Any fighter's going to tell you the same thing. I'm going to put on a show for you on, you know, at your card, I'm bringing money in for you. So you might as well at least treat us properly, you know, like a professional. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. BKFC is definitely, you know, leaps and bounds, ahead of the game when it comes to that. They've done nothing but been professional from the start. And, even though these guys have known me forever, they don't treat me as if, you know, oh, well, you're just one of the good old boys. We'll take care of you. That they still treat me as if I'm a professional coming in, whether they know me or not, you know? So, to be honest with you, that's probably the biggest thing, you know, not having to fly 15 hours, you know, sit in a hotel room for a week by myself and then go perform, you know, in on foreign soil where everybody's booing you and dislikes you to begin with. So right. It's going to be nice to be back stateside and, you know, like I said, fighting for, you know, the big shows.
All right. The year is 1993. Who would win a fight between MC Hammer and the Power Rangers versus Vanilla Ice and the Ninja Turtles?
What the fuck?
It's getting serious. It's getting serious
in here. I had nothing. I was not expecting
It's getting serious in here. These are the tough questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take MC Hammer and the Power Rangers.
Oh yeah. Devin, you've been quiet over there, brother. So what questions you got for our guest?
Wait, you're gonna make me go after that question?
Hell yeah, I am. Put you on the spot.
Well, whenever you go to JoshBurn78 on Instagram, I'm flipping through the pictures, and one thing that I noticed that we both have in common is that we can both pack away some food, man. So how many calories do you take in when you're in training mode, man? And what's your favorite cut of steak?
Well, first of all, I'm plant-based, so I don't eat any animal byproducts, no meat, no dairy, none of that stuff. And as far as caloric intake, I'm sitting at about between 3,500 to 4,200 calories a day. And it's as far as my favorite is my girl Callie. She she makes me a seitan. It's a meat substitute called seitan, and she puts on a bed of hummus or a bed of rice, and that's probably my favorite meal.
What prompted the change over to plant based?
To be quite honest with you, obviously I'm 40, so, you know, I want to extend my career as long as possible, and everything that I've done, you know, with my education and exercise physiology and all my buddies, which most of my friends are doctors, and they all said the same thing. They're like, they might not agree with it or they don't understand it, but they're like, the numbers are undeniable. So, you know, so I just kind of almost as a guinea pig. Decided, like, because I basically started losing a little bit of interest when I was in BKB. My last few fights at BKB, I had no drive. I didn't really have – it wasn't a good situation. You know, my best friend, Leroy Johnson, broke his neck when he was fighting at Atlantic City, so that messed my head up. And I was like, you know what, I need to make sure that my body is on point and as optimal performance as possible. And so we decided to take this journey, which is just plant-based –
I'm not a vegan. It is vegan based, but veganism is an ideology. I don't have that ideology. I grew up on a farm. So if you want a steak, I'll kill you a cow tomorrow and cut you a big fat steak. For me, this is pure performance. It has nothing to do with any kind of ideology behind it. It's just, it strictly is health, health driven. And I believe, you know, like my VO2 max has gone up by 5 points since I've done it. My cholesterol sitting at a 40. I mean, just overall, I'm a lot healthier. My cardiovascular, which everyone knows, has been my nemesis my entire career. And my cardio is on point. And I just feel better overall. So that's the real focus behind it. And I was kind of a guinea pig, you know. We just did an experiment. My trainers, my nutritionist, everyone's like, all right, this is what you want to do. Let's do this. Do, you know, 100%. And like I said, my girl, she pretty much, without her, I probably wouldn't be doing it. But she meal preps for me, and I don't even have to think about it. And, you know, she keeps count of all my calories, my intake, my expenditures. And it, you know, so far, I mean, I guess March 14th is going to be the real true test, because that'll be the first time that we're going to see me, you know, perform live on it. But as far as training, sparring, everything like that, I feel great.
Well, before we let you get out of here, give us a little bit on your thoughts on your fight for March 14th. What are your thoughts on your opponent, and what do you see going into this fight?
Sam Shoemaker's he's marketed as a tough guy. His very first fight, he fought, you know, a guy I consider a brother, which is Eric Prendel. And, you know, if you watch the fight, Eric, being Eric, pretty much thought the guy was going to take a shot on him, and Eric dipped his hands down. This guy threw a big bolo overhand right, caught Eric, and dropped him. That was his claim to fame right off the rip. Ever since then, he hasn't knocked anybody out. He's done all split decision victories. My boy Maurice Jackson, he dropped him a few times when they fought, and somehow Maurice didn't get the nod. My boy Kenzie Morrison, Tommy Morrison's son, just knocked his ass out 5 months ago in a gloved boxing match. Wow. So my opinion is this. The guy doesn't like pressure. He's not a great boxer. You know, he comes and tries to be a bully, but he's never fought a real bully. Most guys have tried to be technical and stand outside, like you said, got a lot of action, you know, bare knuckle, they take their time. I'm not that guy. I'm going to get up in your ass, and I'm going to check that chin. I call it chin checking. So I'm going to chin check his ass right off the rip, and I'm not going to let up. I'm going to put my foot on the gas, and he's either going to quit or he's going to go to sleep. I saw him go to sleep against Kenzie, and he pretty much quit. So my goal is one of the two, you know, get him to quit or put him to sleep.
Devin, any last questions for our guests before we let him out of here?
I don't think there's anything else to say, man. I think you said it all.
Tony?
I'm with Devin on that one. He's
hey, man, he dropped the mic. Let everybody know.
Chin checks.
Chin checking. Homeboy's going to sleep. Let everybody know where they can watch this fight, where they can get it, where they get their tickets, all that good stuff. And again, let them know where they can find you on all your social media.
All right. So, yeah, it's just like I said before, you just look up Josh Burns, you know, for, you know, Facebook, Instagram. And then as far as watching the fight, bare knuckle TV. I think it's Fight TV is where they're actually going to air the pay-per-view. And as far as ticket wise, you know, you can just hit up the Intel Arena if you guys are actually going to go. I only have maybe, I think, like 30 or 40 people that are actually physically going down to Kansas to watch it. Most people are going to watch it on TV. So, it's the live stream, internet-wise, is probably the easiest way to do it. Instead of going through TV, just do the Fight TV or the Bare Knuckle .TV.
With that being said, we're all going to be watching it. I know I'm going to be checking this out and watch Josh Burns chin check this fool. So good luck with the rest of Fight Week and all that stuff, brother man. And we're all in your corner, man.
All right, guys. I appreciate the time, man.
No problem. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Later.
Josh the Hammer Burns. We didn't even get into
Hashtag chin checks.
Hey man, chin check him. We didn't even get into the fact that he came up with Mark Coleman and stuff like that. That's why he's called the Hammer. Mark Coleman, UFC Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
all that good stuff, man. There's a lot to that guy, and I feel like Shoemaker's better be checking that chin, man, or he might end up like another fight that we saw last weekend.
A couple days ago, you mean?
I mean, it was still this weekend. This last weekend,
yeah, for those who are listening to us on Friday when we're not live on Facebook no more.
Look, man, all I know is if you are watching it at home.
Wilder got his ass beat. Like, Fury took his ass and was like, here you go, bro, here's your ass. He handed him his ass.
I couldn't really say it much better. I couldn't really say it much better myself.
Hey, man, all I'm going to say is this. You know, boxing is the sport of kings. You know, two guys in there, you know, applying their craft, man. It's all good. But if you lick me, man, that's we got a problem.
I'm going to see your mama.
Tony said he's going to. Tony,
you
said,
lick me on my neck like that, I'm going to see your mama.
You can't lick me in the middle. No.
He embarrassed the fuck out of that boy all fight. Like, that was an embarrassing fight.
Look, Tony said to tell you he's going to your mama's house. But if you need a house.
Oh!
Matt Stransky.
That's the word of the day. House.
House is the word of the day.
Always.
And we will show up at your mama's house. But if you need a house, go to Stransky & Company. Stransky & Company is the top producing real estate company that specializes in individualized strategy and over-the-top service. You can find them at Stransky & Company, Twitter and Instagram. Hit them up at admin@stranskyandcompany.com and their email, and hit them up. Hit Matt Stransky up directly. Like I said, man, if you watch any of our social medias, you know that these guys are putting out fire homes. And I know they were just... Hey, man, Stransky & Company is the way to go. So like I said, if you need a house, head over to Stransky's house and he'll hook you up. Anyways.
Head over to Stransky's house?
I don't know about, maybe not head over to his house, but, you know, just shoot him a line.
Hey, wait, did we become like Pee Wee's Playhouse at any time you transition, we just started screaming?
Well, considering that Tony was like talking over me, I had to kind of, I had to make it known who was the one doing the read here. But... For me, man, so watching the Wilder fight, okay, my thing with the Fury fight is, first of all, shout out to Detroit's own Kronk Jim, bro. They were out there. They were, you had Sugar Hill in his corner and all the boys from Kronk, and it really paid dividends, because the one thing that really stuck out to me in this fight, a lot of people are talking about the back of the head shot, which I definitely think had a lot to do with it.
He been wobbly. He was wobbly all after, like, after that knockdown when he got hit in the back of the head, it was just like game over since then. That was like second round. It was
right.
Over.
Well, from the second round, Wilder clearly had no legs left, and I mean, but, I mean, I have to say, a lot of people were critical. Devin, I don't know how much you watched it going into the first fight. How much people were talking, why would he switch his camp up right before his fight? But, I mean, Kronk has truly played dividends for him, because if you watch just from the boxing skill alone.
Kronk has trained over how many champions?
A ton.
Like,
it's too many,
like,
to remember.
Man, come
and
on
if
now.
You and if you look at it, every champion that's come out of Kronk, even to Vladimir Klitschko, if you watch Vladimir Klitschko before he went to Kronk, he was essentially doing something very similar to what Wilder was doing, and just knocking people out by timing him. But when he learned how to box, man, it was a whole nother thing. So to me, man, I think that that was the story of the fight. Now that we had a few days away from the fight, it's been announced now that Deontay Wilder has invoked his rematch clause. So that fight's going to get ran back. Anthony Joshua is going to have to sit on his ass and wait.
Wilder should have had Fury and Joshua go at it before he stepped back in, but that's just my opinion.
I mean...
Well, he had 30 days to, you know, use his money in the bank rematch clause.
He's cashing in. Where's the ref? So in the rematch
real,
though.
Wait, one thing,
okay, go ahead.
One thing that I was listening to a couple podcasts. Shout out to Corner Podcast, Andreas and Kel. One thing Andreas pointed out before the fight, and probably should have paid more attention to for my side, because I picked Wilder to win the fight. Fury came in about 20 pounds heavier than he did in the last fight.
Yeah,
and. Basically, his strategy, and it worked to a T, his strategy was to basically put his belly on Wilder for the whole fight, make him carry his weight so he can wear him out. So he was leaning on him and pressuring him, and that extra weight and having to carry that throughout the fight definitely wore Wilder out, because he's used to getting guys out of there quickly. And you don't see him a lot in these long fights. So
I mean,
strategy by Kronk and Tyson Fury and those guys, man, it worked perfectly.
So, since we're talking about weight, Deontay Wilder also came in heavier than he did in the first fight, and also said that the weight of his fucking Darth Vader costume, or whatever the fuck you want to call that.
Like, dude, just take your L, man.
He's literally
you're making yourself look stupid.
He said, and I quote, this is from Deontay Wilder, he said that the suit that he wore out there weighed 40 pounds, and that it, you know, that it weighed him down. How are you going to say some shit like that you can't. That ain't nobody else's fault. You wore the damn thing.
That's like when Hitman Tommy Hearns was like, "Yeah, man, you know I was on my way to the ring and this dude massaged my shoulders right quick for like 30 seconds. If he wouldn't have did that, man, let me tell you,
Devin, what are your
Hagler would have had his ass beat.
What are your thoughts on the excuse with the suit?
Excuses are tools of a copper to build monuments of nothing, and that's what happened on Saturday.
Damn, Devin.
Look at you.
What book you read that from right now? You had that in your hand. You was ready. Like, as soon as they ask me about the excuse, I'm going to have it. Chapter 13.
Verse 3. Stanza number 2.
The Book of Devin.
that's an old one, man. But you know what? You know who used that quote?
Who's that?
Former Detroit Lions coach Jim Caldwell. He's used that quote before, man. I mean, I knew it before that.
So what do you guys think going into the rematch that we now know is going to happen between them?
That boy needs some hands. He needs to go down to Chinatown in Vegas and go see Roger Mayweather.
Devin?
Look, Deontay Wilder, this guy has probably the biggest equalizer in boxing. He's got that knockout punch.
Agreed.
But I feel like he's a little too dependent on it. And the question is, between now and whenever they have this rematch, can he learn the technical skills of boxing to combat Tyson Fury? Tyson Fury, man, even in the first fight, I'm going to tell you, Tyson Fury won the first fight. The only thing that made it a draw was the fact that he got knocked out and did the Undertaker setup. That's what made it a draw. Tyson Fury, as far as the boxing side, he won that fight. And then he dominated the second one. So the question is, can he figure out a way to combat, the technical skill of boxing between now and then? I don't know.
I think, for me, man, like I said, I was, and this is coming from a guy who's a fan of Deontay Wilder. Don't get it mistaken. I have been a fan of him.
No, wait, hold on. Before you talk about being a fan of Deontay Wilder, I just want to let Deontay Wilder know, if you ever just so happen to be listening right now, it was Black History Month. You came out with Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, you had Marcus Garvey behind you in your entrance.
Jackie Robinson.
You had all that going for you. You're just like, yeah. And then, you had the whole Wakanda Black Panther, Darth Vader, King of Diamonds thing going on that weighed 45 pounds. And like, you know what I mean? To this day, and then I just want to say, like, Black History Month ended early because he lost. That's all I wanted to say. He didn't lose in Black History Month because Black History Month was over the day before his fight. So we not going to count that against you, Wilder. We still got your back.
So, look, man.
Wait, real quick. Did you guys hear about what happened with Andreas in Black History Month?
No.
I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know the specifics.
What happened?
Well, long story short, Andreas, he works for the Zone, that is one of the companies that put on this fight. And he had one of the questions at the press conference. He asked Deontay Wilder, like, what does it mean to fight in Black History Month? Well, apparently this sparked some big Twitter storm where they kept saying that, like, oh, Andreas is race baiting. Why would you ask that question? But I'm like, okay, so whenever Cinco de Mayo comes around, do we say, hey, Canelo, what does it mean for you to fight, on Mexican Independent Day and for your people? We don't really,
That's not racist, though. Like, that's just my thing, right? Like, it's like, I don't want to get too far into,
like, death threats and stuff like that. It's crazy, man.
I don't want to get too far into politics because of the views and opinions expressed by Tony Thunder are not necessarily those of Knockouts and Three Counts or Podcast Detroit. But it seems like anytime you bring up anything that has to do with race, you're race baiting. I just wonder how many people would call, Martin Luther King a race baiter back in the day, like if it was today's time. But anyway, I don't think there was anything wrong with that per se, because, like,
I don't think there was either.
Mayweather usually fights Mexicans a lot. And okay, here we go again. The views and opinions of Tony Thunder is, he fights Mexicans on a lot, and May Day is usually like the first Saturday of May, and Mayweather has fought a lot of Mexicans on Cinco de Mayo, and he's undefeated. So, like, there's no racism in that either. Like, sometimes people grasp at straws for a story, man, and if it blew up, then they did their job.
I hate to say it, man, but in 2020, I feel like anything you say, no matter what it is. I actually was listening to a podcast with Austin and Jerry the King Lawler on it, and Jerry the King Lawler said it perfectly. He was like, man, anything you say in 2020, no matter what it is, good, bad, indifferent, somebody is going to have a problem with it. And the fact that social media is a platform to where anything you say can instantly be seen by who you're saying it about. I think that that's changed a lot of things. I don't see anything racist with what Andrea said. The same as I didn't see any issue when I asked the question to Darby Allin, dude. I think people are just going to pick something out of anything you say. To me, like I said, I'm interested to see that fight again. I hope that Wilder takes it serious and really goes back to the drawing board and tries to get his boxing skills together. But again, I'm totally cool with seeing it, and I think you need to run it back, especially with the way everything went down. It just, all together, man, it's just, I feel like people are going to find something to bitch about no matter what happens. But something that we here at Knockouts and Three Counts have nothing to bitch about, and Devin, you were there, you son of a bitch. This weekend, Friday, our homie, Miles the Fury Jury, did his thing. Bellator 239 got him a big win against Chad Gertz. First of all, tell me about your trip down to Oklahoma for the fight. And what's
I just want to say one thing since it is Black History Month. Shout out to Durags.
He's taking Devin out of the game.
I'm going to show y'all how to put on a do-rag. If you don't know how to put on a do-rag and you watching Facebook Live, this is how you want to put on a do-rag. You know, Vince McMahon had on one time. So shout out to do-rag history month. Vince McMahon wearing a do-rag.
And a purple one at
that. Yeah, you go around twice, right? Like I just did. Then you just tie it up in the back just like that right there. Shout out to do-rag. Shout out to Wave Caps. Shout out to Murray's Grease. You get one can and that's a lifetime supply. Shout out to...
All right. Devin.
Shout out to Sofa 8.
A rhinestone studded do-rag, man. Shout out to Royce 5'9 for that, man.
Yeah, shout out to Royce, the 5'9 for the rhinestone studded do-rag.
So, Devin, tell me about your trip to Oklahoma to see our homie Miles Jury get him a W.
Well, it took place at the Windstar Casino in Feckerville, Oklahoma, which is about an hour north of Dallas. Nice casino, nice venue. This is my second Bellator fight, man, and I was kind of concerned about what the venue would look like, man. But it did a good job there, good production. Everything looked good there at the casino, man. And shout out to Miles for getting the job done, man. So now I understand how it is for you, Kyle, going to the fights with people that you know, man.
I texted you that right as you were hitting me up.
Dude, like the rest of the card, man, you know, I was watching it, you know, I was enjoying it, but as soon as the Miles fight started, man, I turned into a maniac, man. Like, people started looking at me and stuff. I was like, forget you guys, man. That's my boy.
Randy talking shit.
If you're paying attention to the comments, it's going down in the comments. Speaking of which, in the comments...
I posted that like 12 minutes ago.
Okay, I'm just now seeing it, though.
Speaking of which, it's going down in the comments. Shout out, Paige. I see you in there. I seen you comment in there.
I don't see all these comments.
Yeah, Paige, well, it didn't show because the thing cut out. But, yeah, so you were...
Oh, Peppa Kyle's watching.
Yeah, Kyle's watching us. Come back to the studio, you asshole!
Yeah, Cole from Martin. That's what he looked like.
Wow, I didn't say all that, but...
He looked like if Cole from Martin played an Oompa Loompa in a like black parody of Willy Wonka and a Chocolate Factory.
Wow.
Wow, I didn't say that. That was totally Tony. But Devin,
you know he gonna make a comment. If not, he probably already like X'd out. Like,
oh yeah, he's
fucking Tony.
He's gonna say something. But Devin, what were your thoughts on the fights itself? I wanna know from somebody who was there, you know, what was the vibe like and what were your overall thoughts on the fight as a whole and Miles' performance?
Yes.
So we've had these conversations before on air and off air about MMA fans. And yeah, man, I was starting to get annoyed at certain points during the day because everybody's trying to, you know, ref, stand him up, ref. Like, dude, the guy is working, man. He's actually, they're not laying on top of each other. They're actually working.
Now do you understand why I get pissed off?
And look, people are just like yelling. If I hear someone say kick his ass Seabass at the MMA fight again, man, I'm going to fucking scream.
Well, you know what the new one is?
I'm so tired of hearing that shit.
It's the new one is not kick his ass Seabass anymore. The new one is twist his dick.
Where? What? Oh, I saw the video.
Twist his dick.
Give him the old dick twist. Yeah.
Oh, man. What would you rather, like, if you was a fighter and you was in the ring, what would you rather hear? Would you rather hear kick his ass Seabass or would you rather hear twist his dick?
Kick his ass Seabass.
Yeah.
If you tell him to twist his dick, you must be in a position where, like, dick is just, like, in your face. You know what I mean? And you got to, like, you're in a bad position. Like, biting somebody. Like, Randy's interested now. If you bite somebody.
Is that a bad position?
No, like, you know what I mean? In fighting, if a dick in your face, you don't want to have a dick in your face while you fighting.
I mean, Tony's got a point. I know.
Randy's blushing of thinking about fighting and having a dick in his face while he fighting.
And for those of you who are watching live, feel free to answer on the poll made by Randy. Tony Thunder, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Tony Thunder is back. This is my record of being here 3 weeks in a row.
Holy shit! Circle it in red.
2 weeks definitely wasn't the record. 3 weeks definitely is the record.
So, Devin, now let's get back to the topic. So, you watched the fight. I mean, how did you? So Brandon Gertz came out very strong. You know, obviously in the first round and into the second round. For me watching at home, I'm just like, man, I need Miles to get busy. Which that was one of the biggest things that I liked about this fight was that Miles didn't sit back like he has in a lot of his fights. He was in his face the whole time, and even when the Gertz got the one takedown, he made it. Miles neutralized him to where he wasn't able to do anything or any damage from the top, and Miles cut his nose with an elbow. Yeah,
he
so
a lot of heart in that fight.
Yeah, I mean, so what were the biggest things you saw as a difference? You know, now this is the first fight you've ever seen Miles fight live, right?
Yeah, this is the first one.
What was your takeaway from it, I guess is what he's asking.
Pretty much.
In 50 questions or less.
Well, first round, I thought Miles lost the first. But I thought Miles definitely won the last two. Honestly, I was very nervous. I thought this was going to end up being a split decision. It was a close decision. It went 29-28 for Miles. But I think what the equalizer was the takedown he got in the third round. I thought that was what won him the fight. But Miles was definitely pressuring. He was basically throwing those kicks out there, and
the knees were so effective.
Yeah, the kicks in the knees, man. He was landing pretty much anytime he threw it, man.
Every time Gertz came in, he was catching him with the knee to the body.
Right. And I think that, I don't know if that's what the plan was. If that was the plan, good job. If that was just, you know, Miles improvising along the way, good job as well, man. I think those knees to the body was the equalizer. That's what got him the fight. And then the takedown in the third round was solidified, in my opinion.
So my other question for you is this. So there's been a lot of talk on all of the MMA forums about Miles' post-fight interview. I, for one, was not expecting what he said afterwards. What were your thoughts?
Look, sometimes, you know, you got to shake things up. When you've been doing one thing and it's not, you're not necessarily getting the results that you're looking for. You got to change it up, man. MMA, I know Tony's going to love this.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is pro wrestling.
It sure
you
is.
You have to be able to, in MMA, you have to be able to market yourself. You got to be able to talk
on a mic.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get yourself over, man.
Man, so, I look at it like this. Like, if you... Like, even you look at some of the fighters that people know is like, okay, he's a great fighter, but he's not one of the greatest ever. But you remember him because of the shit he talked with Chael Sonnen.
Good point.
Like, I remember him and Bones Jones fight was like a first round slaughter, like massacre. Like, the only thing I remember from that fight is Bones breaking his toe and beating the shit out of Chael Sonnen. But like the whole build up and hype for that fight was like, yo, Chael's, oh man, he got Bones Jones. Like, Bones Jones don't even talk like that. Like, and then Bones beat the shit out of him.
So,
man, we've talked to Miles about this on the show before, man, about, you know, talking in fights beforehand. And he said it then. It's like, that's not really his style. But if he wants, I think he wants more. He wants the contract. He wants the big fight. Put it out there, man.
Look, I
put your nuts up.
You know, you and I talked about it right after it happened. So it shocked me because, like you said, it isn't normally like how Miles is on a fight basis. But for me, it was good to see him actually talk up, because I think if he would have kind of like called his shots a little more in the UFC, especially when he was on the run where he's fighting Cowboy, he's fighting Gomi, he's fighting Diego Sanchez, he's fighting like names that everyone knows, and he was in the top 10. I think if he would have hyped a little bit more of his fights, it would have helped him as far as
notoriety
and making people want to see you fight. I think that's one of the biggest things that Conor McGregor does so well, is that even if he doesn't win every fight, people either want to see him get his ass whooped or they want to see somebody whoop his ass. And that's making people tune in to watch the fight, which is making UFC, or in this case Bellator, make them want to keep putting you on fights and putting you in big money spots, because they know people are going to tune in to watch you fight. So for me, especially, you know, as Miles being like a brother to me, man, I'm just glad to see him finally taking the bull by the horns and trying to get himself, you know, a little bit more notoriety with it. So shout out to him on that win. I don't know who they give him next. Devin, I don't know if you've got any names in mind. One name that was thrown out to me that makes a lot of sense, at least in the Bellator picture, is I was talking to other past guests of the show, and ironically, both Miles and mine's first trainer, Don Richard, about Syed Awad, which actually he fought Jason Fisher in Bellator as well. I think that's a fight I could see. I could also see them giving him another guy who's ranked, being that his first fight for Bellator was Ben Henderson. So I don't really know which way they're going to go for sure, but I mean, that sounds like a doable fight. Do you got any names in mind, Devin?
Not really, man. I'm going to be honest with you. And I think this is one of the reasons why I think Miles doing this is a good thing. When you think MMA, for the most part, if you're a casual fan, you think UFC. Bellator has put on some good fights. But as far as the mid-card or other people, you know, outside of those top guys, it's not a lot of people that are, you know, known like that in Bellator. So Miles, I think, going out there and saying what he said kind of puts him on the radar, man. I think more people in Bellator need to do that. I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I can't tell you everybody that's in that
it's
that
a bell.
Why are you ringing the bell like that?
I was ringing the bell because I said the same thing when Don and I were talking.
What's this new bell ringing shit? We just ringing a bell like that?
I mean, it just... Where's Tony's mad because Tony don't got a bell in front of him, too.
What the fuck? He rung that shit like the match was over in the middle of talking. He was just like... Like, he got disqualified or some shit. Like,
you're disqualified, you son of a bitch.
That's some new shit. I wasn't...
He wasn't privy to
that
it.
That fucked me up.
But, yeah, man, like, I was talking about that with Don, too, man. Like, I think they have a good main event, but their undercard is where they need work. Because even if you watch the main event fight with that, where you got Ed Ruth, who's a 3-time national champion, I had no clue who the fuck that guy was that he fought. He's 22-0, and I'm like, I got no clue who the fuck this guy is.
I'm going to be honest with you. I knew Miles and I knew Timothy Johnson, who murdered a man.
Holy shit! Please tell the listeners about what happened after that fucking fight and the guy punching the chair because he was knocked out so bad.
Well, I didn't see that part. What happened?
You said that dude punched the guy that got knocked out, the heavyweight fight.
Oh, I thought you said he punched somebody in the chair.
No, I thought said he punched. I said he punched the chair.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so
I know what I'm talking about.
First of all, the guy got knocked out in front of me, and I saw something flying over the cage. I'm like, did his mouthpiece come out, or was that a tooth? Literally said it out loud. Turned out it was a big glob of spit. It was a slobber knocker, literally. So this dude was literally on the ground for like a good 3 minutes. Like, I got concerned for a while. Like, I think this dude might actually be dead. He was okay. When he came to, he was walking. Basically, when you were walking out of the cage, they came right past me in the row that I was sitting in. And this guy punched the chair and almost knocked the whole row over. But I'm like, dude, you probably should have did that in the fight instead of punching the chair. Like Bruce Lee says, you know, chair don't fight back.
I just, that shit was had me dying when you told me that. So let's talk about something that's about to go down this weekend with the last few minutes that we got. So we've got AEW Revolution this weekend.
Yeah.
I, for one, have to say I've liked the build to this show. I really think they did a good job with the Cody and MJF thing.
Eli.
As well as I liked the Jericho Moxley thing. For me, those are the two matches that I'm looking forward to most. I loved the thing with the belt. It felt very old school and something very Dusty-like to me. So like I said, I'm very, very much invested into that one. And we're going to get Chase Burnett's opinion on Randy's poll here in a second. So with that being said, Devin, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on AEW
Revolution?
What does
Chase Burnett know about Randy's poll?
Because it pops up as soon as somebody's watching it.
Wait, Randy, what was that?
There's currently a poll in the live feed saying Tony Thunder, thumbs up or thumbs down. We'll have to see which one Chase Burnett picked. But with that being said, Devin, what are your thoughts on AEW Revolution?
You know what match I'm looking forward to the most that I don't know if everybody else is paying attention to? Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara, man.
That could be very interesting.
I really think this is probably going to be the best match on the whole card. Yeah, or the most underrated fight match on the whole card, man. Darby Allin, man, look, I haven't been watching WWE, right? And
we know this.
AEW.
Well, those who don't know, Devin is on the WWE fast.
Yeah, I feel great, man.
And we just found out that Randy has fans. Yes. Randy has some fans.
Hashtag Randy for the Randy.
I like it.
Yeah, you guys.
I'm Randy for Randy.
Randy's poll, man. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Randy's poll apparently is the topic of conversation right now. Randy's poll in AEW.
Tony, what are your thoughts on it?
Man, I'm liking a lot of what they're doing with AEW. I missed maybe last week and the week before, so I'm a couple weeks behind. But the whole Hangman and Omega thing is pretty dope.
I like it.
That hasn't been mentioned yet. I really like that. I saw something where they're having a tag team match against the Young Bucks, something for the titles?
Yep, or? It's those two for the title because the Young Bucks won the big tag team battle royal last week.
Yeah, that's going to be dope. I like how they're building up to that. Maybe, who knows? Maybe, who knows what happens with that? I mean, with AEW is
could
like,
this be the end of the Elite?
That's where I was going to kind of sprinkle a little bit of mystery on, man. We also got Superstar Showdown, if anybody cares about that.
Nope.
It's Devin's favorite show of the year.
Can I just say that
I don't think anything's going to really happen or change that's going to make, like, any big difference of what's going on, except maybe Miz and Morrison winning the tag titles from the New Day. I don't really see anything else,
mattering. If Goldberg beats The Fiend... Oh, my God.
See, no. Here's my thing, right? With The Fiend, like, with his whole hurt and heal thing, it's like when he goes against somebody, they, like, somehow travel back in time. There's, like, this whole theory and conspiracy story behind it is where he is now the Lake of Rejuvenation, whatever they call it. So, like, if you look at when he after he beat The Miz went back to Morrison, the dirt sheet whole thing. He beat Seth. Seth went back to, like, the authority kind of thing. And he beat Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan cut his hair and started looking like Dragon again. And, you know, it's just like that whole idea. If he beats Goldberg, are we going to see Goldberg come back and maybe go for another streak?
At 50?
Yeah. Maybe he'll go for a 50-0.
Fuck my life.
He's like, think about if he wrestles at least once a week, 2 weeks after WrestleMania, that he could go 50-0.
Good Lord.
To a pay-per-view with maybe somehow. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It's like every time The Fiend goes against somebody, when he beats them, they kind of go back to them older selves. We've seen it with everybody he's won against. So if he does beat Goldberg, I don't see why Goldberg would win. But if he beats Goldberg, you know, we could see Goldberg maybe come back and maybe start a new streak.
If only they would have done that with Matt Hardy, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But for me, man, like I said, it's cool to see all this different stuff happening. As a wrestling fan, there's a lot of stuff to watch. I mean, you've got Thursday, you've got Super Showdown, and then Saturday you've got AEW Revolution. I think, for me, I think that this show is going to be very it's going to tell you a lot of things about AEW, and here's why. Because now you've had, what, they're like, what, 12 or 14 weeks into their TV? Something like that?
Something like that.
So now you...
It's like 20.
Damn, really? Wow.
Yeah. October till now has been like, on my DVR, I think it's like 2021, something like that.
Fuck, man. Okay, so we're like 20 weeks in. Either way, I mean, now you've got some legitimate build to your stories. You've got some legitimate, you know, beefs. You've got some legitimate things. One of the things that I'm interested to see what happens, do you think we see the Fallen Angel end up being the leader of the Dark Order?
I think if they do that, that's too obvious. Like, they've been building towards that.
I agree.
It's just too obvious. If he is it, I think it's going to let a lot of fans down.
Any thoughts on who it could be if it's not him?
It could be somebody who's being introduced.
Any just random ideas of who you think it would be?
I would like for it to be Marty.
Marty Scurll?
Yeah.
But didn't he sign with Ring of Honor?
He has some kind of he's still doing NWA.
Yeah, but they're partnered with NWA, though.
Yeah, but they're also partnered with New Japan, you know, and who's also partnered with AEW. So, like, it could happen. It could happen, especially with him being the writer of allegedly the writer now and all of that. I'm just, you know. I would like it to be somebody that they introduce, maybe like a good surprise, maybe a return of like a legend that still kind of got it, but you know, like a RVD or X-Pac or Monty Brown or something like that. You know, somebody, it's like something different.
Or a Matt Hardy.
I would love, dude.
That could be one too.
I was such a fan of everything Matt Hardy did with the broken character, and I thought there was so much that WWE could have done with that, especially coming off of WrestleMania 34 when they did the whole thing with him and Bray and the whole broken universe and all that stuff. I thought there was so much that could be done. Matt Hardy would be a good pick if that's where they went, but with him still being under contract, I don't see it.
Well, Chase Burnett said he hopes that a sick Nick Mondo. That would be crazy too.
I mean, that would be very interesting because Nick Mondo has history with Moxley and a lot of people on that roster. So that would be very interesting. And speaking of Moxley, I really like the Moxley Jericho match as well. I like the build with it. I like that Moxley went back and got the eye for an eye on Santana. I thought that was very well done. I thought for a minute he was just going to go through one by one in the inner circle and just take all their eyes out until he got his match. But that's definitely a match that I'm looking forward to. I think that it's got the potential to do real good because they both, to me, have a great mindset for that stuff. What are your thoughts on the match with Mox and Jericho, Tony?
I like the whole like you said, the eye for an eye thing. But, you know, as the guru Pika once said, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. the whole joining, the teasing of the joining. And, you know, at first to me, it seemed like it was kind of forced. You know, it started off like, oh, come on, man. Like, where did Moxley come from? You know, it was like, okay, now he's going against Jericho. What are they going to do with it? And it just kind of seemed like, you know, I was confused by it at first, but after the whole is he going to join and didn't thing, I'm like, okay, now they got something to run off of and something to work with. So ever since then, I think it's picked up and gotten really interesting. And, man, who knows what's going to happen, man. I think Jericho's probably going to hold on to the title a little longer. But
what are your thoughts, Dev?
Well, let me just say something in general about AEW, man. I thought, like, the first half of their run from like October till December, I think they were still trying to figure out, you know, all right, how do we do this wrestling on TV thing? But I think since the new year, man, especially around the Jericho Cruise time, from then until now, man,
I ain't fucking with this coronavirus.
Devin, you're not watching. He's got us both wearing masks right now, but
wow,
because I sneezed.
He's sneezing in the studio. And I don't like it,
man, but I think AEW's been putting on some great television, man. And I think that's it. I think they've gotten to the point where they realize that, hey, we need to tell these stories on TV and not necessarily on the Being Elite show, man. And I think each match that you're seeing on this card, man, they all have great storyline. Moxley and Jericho, MJF and Cody, great story. Hangman Page and Omega and the Bucks, great story there. Darby Allin and Guevara, great story. So they figured out, I think they figured out the formula of, we can go out there and just have great wrestling matches. You got to do that every week. But you also got to tell a story, too. And I think they're doing a great job of doing that just in general. So I'm really looking forward to this pay-per-view. Probably more than I was looking forward to.
Full Gear?
What was the last pay-per-view? Full Gear. Yeah.
I was there.
Oh, God.
And just so you know, before I let you finish, Devin, John.
He gonna let you finish?
John Flickengar, excuse me if I said your name wrong. We've now found the cure to the coronavirus. Just drink Modelo.
There's a racist joke in there somewhere.
I'm drinking one right now. Shit.
Oh, podcast juice.
Chase Burnett says he wants Tony to get Corona just for the Facebook post. But I agree with you, Dev. There's totally been a lot of good stories to it. And Chase Burnett's wishing on Tony's downfall. But
no, he didn't say the coronavirus. He said he wants me to get Corona.
And a lot.
And a lime.
And shake it all up.
And if you need a house, Stransky and Company.
You are damn right, sir.
Yes. The Randy is in effect.
Hello.
There he is. In all of his randiness.
Mr. Randy.
Watson. Yeah.
Well, we're getting down to our last few minutes here.
No, we ain't.
Yes, we are. But
right. Yeah, you are.
We're getting down to our last few minutes here. Obviously, as we said, you've got AEW Revolution this weekend. Going to be a great show. March 14th, our guest Josh Burns is going to be chin-checking fools for Bare Knuckle FC. Make sure you're watching it on Fight TV or wherever the hell you watch it. You know we will be.
And the week after, March 20th.
March 20th. What's March 20th?
That boy Muneeb Al-Simon.
That's right. Murder Muneeb. Murder Muneeb is going to chin check some fool, and you sorry son of a bitch, you're probably going to be sleeping.
Oh, man. His hands are like, everybody wants kung fu fighting.
But that would mean they're kind of slow, though, and his aren't slow.
He's as fast like lightning.
That's true.
You didn't see, you wasn't ready for the rest of the song.
You know it's a little bit frightening, man.
Absolutely, because everybody wanted kung fu fighting.
Well, if everybody wants to find Tony Thunder, where can they find him?
Yo, I'm on social medias. You can find... Well, I shut my Facebook down. I'm going to open my Facebook right now just for y'all. You can find me on the social medias at Tony Thunder.
All of them?
All the social medias at Tony Thunder. Sometimes it's an underscore. If you search Tony Thunder, you go find me. Unless you find Tony, the drummer, Dan Smith, whatever his name is. And, yeah. There's a drummer named Tony Thunder, and he got, like, thousands of views on YouTube and shit. He, like, you know. Like, you type in Tony Thunder, you see him performing. Then you see my match after his shit. So, he Tony Thunder first.
I got nothing for
Holy
that.
Shit. I got, like, 10 messages and, like, 23 notifications.
I got nothing for that one other than you can also, I don't know if she's on tonight's episode.
I said
episode,
that like it was
Devin,
a lot. It wasn't.
Devin, I know that you may have seen it already, but be on the lookout for past guests of the show. Lindsay Snow, the American Kaiju, is going to be making her debut for NWA. That'll be coming soon. And if you're going to be down for WrestleMania in Tampa, boom, come check your boys out from Knockouts and Three Counts. Devin and
my
I will be there in Tampa doing the damn thing. So if you see us out, come say what's up.
My granny like messaged me to ask me if I was watching Raw last night.
And Tony's granny was watching
That's my
Raw.
Granny. My granny will fuck you up.
This is good to know. Devin, let them know where they can find you. And, yeah, like I said, check us out in Tampa.
Well, you can find me. My address is 16th.
Not this time.
Wait, I almost gave him my real address. My bad.
He was. 16th. Now we'll remember.
He wanted to give you all access.
Like, next time I'm be like, hey, Devin, what's the last three numbers of your address? And he going to say it. And I'm be like, now we have it. If you listen to, like, three episodes in a row, you're going to have Devin's entire address.
One thing you will have is your PCO Monster Mania shirt, because I'll bring it to Tampa.
Speaking of addresses, if you want a new address,
check out Stransky and Company. They'll get you right, bro.
You ain't got your shit ready?
I already did it. We already done it. Tony was trying to team me up again, but I wasn't ready.
That's not how we do it here anyway.
Right. We do it.
6-3 on Twitter.
The Randy.
I'll say no says on Instagram. Follow me. I'll be at the Mikey Garcia and Jesse Vargas fight this weekend.
Yeah, you will.
Bam.
And we'll definitely have to talk a little bit about that next week on the show. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram at KO3CPod.com. You can see the full backlog of all of our episodes and Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube. You can see not only all the shows that you're hearing here live, but you can also see all the stuff we've done live. There's interviews up there with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. There's interviews up there with DDP and Nyla Rose and MJF. And all of them. So check that shit out. Subscribe, tell a friend, and until next week, fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch.
I beat you.
Damn it.
Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.
Punch Deck!